The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, October 21st, 2012, if you're listening live. And it's whatever your now might be if you're listening to the recording. Welcome. I am very happy to be here and happy that you're joining me to listen to this, whether it's live as I'm doing it or whether it's through the recording. Ah, beautiful, sunny fall October day. Lots of beautiful color in the leaves. Here in New Hampshire, it's not quite gone yet. So if you have that in your area, I hope you're enjoying it or will enjoy it when it comes or did enjoy it while it was there. And in any case, let's jump in here and connect up. Connecting first to that inner mastery. So allow yourself to open to your own divinity, to give yourself permission to allow more of your divinity, more of your mastery, more of the truth of who you are to be a part of your experience right now. So just allow your breathing to deepen. No need to push, just allow. And as you do, as you allow your breath to deepen, just allow that feeling to emerge and let it fill you to the degree you're able to receive it right now on the physical level, on the emotional level, on the mental level, throughout your energy field and your aura, and indeed give permission for that energy of your divinity, for that energy of your mastery to flow out into all of your relationships, letting yourself expose a little more of who you are. Doesn't require anything from you except a choice. And knowing that this degree of openness, this degree of connection is going to remain throughout the time we are connected here today. Let's move on to the next phase. And in this, we open to connect with our Mother Earth. And so, allow yourself to open to receiving the energy from Mother Earth, the connection, the love and support. And some will open the chakras in their feet, some will open the root chakra. Some will open the cells of the skin, or some combination thereof, or whatever else works for you, but open to receive her love and support to fill you to whatever degree you're willing, to whatever degree you're able to receive that in this moment. Let her love and support fill you physically, emotionally, mentally, flowing throughout your energy field, throughout your aura, and sharing that degree of connection, again, even out into your relationships. Just allowing yourself to be free with this flow of energy. And connecting with whatever gratitude might come up that you are able to be in body at this time, that you're able to be experiencing and living your life. Allow that gratitude to flow down back to Mother Earth. And allow love, your love of being alive, your love of being in body, your love of experiencing in these ways. Allow that love to flow back to her as well. And whatever willingness you might have to support her consciously and directly, let that flow to her as well. And as you allow this gratitude, this love, this energy of support to flow to her, again, it opens up more space within you for you to receive the love and support from her. And knowing that that connection, those flows will be maintained throughout our connection here today, let's move up to the next level and connect with all those beings who do not have a physical body right now, who are supporting us while we are in our physical bodies. And I'm speaking, of course, of our angels, our guides, the ascended masters, and other teachers who are present, supporting us as we go about having the experiences of living in a body on Earth at this time. And once more, opening to connect with and receive that love and support that they are offering us. Open up your heart, open up the solar plexus, open up your third eye or crown, or again, open in whatever other way or combination of ways allows you to most receive. And once more, allow these energies to fill your physical, your emotional, and your mental levels, to flow into your entire energy field, your aura, and once more, to flow out into all of those relationships that you currently have. And as we receive this flow, allow your energy, again, of gratitude to come up. And let that gratitude to flow back to these beings who are on our team, who are supporting you as you walk through this lifetime. And again, share your love, whatever you're willing to share at this time with them, and your willingness to support what they are doing, not only with you, but with others, in whatever way feels appropriate, feels perfect for you at this time. And you don't even have to name it. You just have to be willing. And so as we open those flows and share our gratitude and our love and our support, once more we make even more room within us to receive the love and support that is offered to us. And once more, knowing that these energy flows will continue while we are connected here today, let's open up and connect to each other. Connect to this community, the Exposing the Masters Within community, allowing yourself to connect with all the others who are gathering, either live or through the recording, because the community is not just about those who are present here right now at this time. The community is about all those who connect with this and in the shared intention of not only experiencing more of our mastery, but exposing it and sharing it with the world. And as we come together and connect with the mass consciousness, the group consciousness of Exposing the Masters Within, we connect with that shared intention, that shared energy, that shared direction. And we're able to receive that as a support that allows us to open individually more fully into it. And so once more, allow yourself to receive that energy of support into your physical, your emotional, and your mental bodies, into your energy field, your aura, and again, even into your relationships. And as we connect with that, allow your gratitude for receiving it and for the amplification of your own empowerment that it brings, and allow that gratitude to flow back into that mass consciousness, that group consciousness that we are co-creating here together and expanding every week that we join in this way. And as you do that, allow yourself to know that you're able to receive still more of the energy of the collective to help empower yourself, to help step into further mastery. And knowing that these connections will remain open for at least as long as we are connected directly here, allow yourself now to open to the rest of humanity. And first we connect with, let's first connect with the light workers, those who are consciously walking this path, whether we know them directly or not, whether they will ever connect consciously into this community of exposing the masters within, but everyone who is walking a path on this planet of conscious awakening into their own empowerment, of consciously seeking to step into their divinity, and feel that mass consciousness, feel that coming to you, that group consciousness supporting the direction that we're going, supporting the direction that you are consciously choosing, and let that energy of shared intent, of group consciousness, of group intent flow into you and feed you and support you in your own personal awakening. And again, sharing our gratitude back to all the other light workers. Just expands our room to receive that support. And next, we connect with all of humanity. All of humanity. For everyone in a body has an underlying desire fed by that last remaining contact, however small it may seem to the spark of our divinity that says it can be better than it is. And the desire that comes out of that to move in that direction of that which is better. Regardless of how that might be defined, everyone has that underlying spark of seeking it to be better. And you have a knowing that the direct way, the most direct way to get there, is through your own empowerment, through your own choice to claim your divinity. But that intent for improvement is a huge mass consciousness, because that's in everyone on the planet, whether they've yet reached this stage where they're seeking conscious mastery or not. And so this is a large energy of mass consciousness, of group consciousness, that we have the power to tap into, that energy of movement toward that which is better, that which is improved, that which is happier, more loving. And so open to receive that flow of energy as well, on all levels, physical, emotional, mental, throughout your energy field, your aura, and even into your relationships, where it becomes an aspect of compassion, where it becomes an aspect of compassion, because we recognize that at that very core, at that very core, somewhere inside of us, surrounding the wound that we experience in separation, in the experience of separation, there is still this core desire that joins us, one and all, that joins us together as humans on this planet at this time, and awakens greater compassion. So allow that to flow into all of your relationships. And again, allow gratitude to flow back to that mass consciousness, that group consciousness, and out to all of humanity. The gratitude for sharing this time on the planet, this amazing time on the planet. And again, as we share that, we're able to receive even more. Okay. And knowing that all these connections are going to stay open, going to stay open, let's step forward into today's primary topic, or at least initiating topic, which is a question that I would like to share with you. And it's a question that first came up for me, or first came into my awareness, a number of years ago when, well, another healer that I know was offering a session to a client, and it surprised her when this came out of her mouth in helping that client deal with what he was going through. And the question was this: would you rather be right, or would you rather be happy? And the implication, of course, being that you're choosing between one and the other. And we'll get into all of how that works. And as we go along here, or at least as much as is going to come up in my consciousness while we're in this co-creative space. But I shared that question with another friend of mine earlier today, and what she said back to me was, well, that's from the Course in Miracles, which I've never studied, but I've found interesting along the way how frequently I've been told that something that I've channeled sounds like something that came from the Course in Miracles, whether it was an exact phrasing or a perspective, etc. And so that's just something that I find interesting when there are those confirmations, those correlations between different sources, it can certainly act as confirmation about the truth. So to hear that today after having heard this, I'm guessing 6 years ago, first from another source who also had not studied the Course in Miracles, I found it, as I said, an interesting confirmation that, well, hey, this is the topic for today. So in sitting with that question, what's your answer? Would you rather be right, or would you rather be happy? And I don't know about you, but it's a question that kind of makes me nervous. It's a question that stops things where they are and gets you to go, whoa. Again, at least it does for me. Because it does have that implication that it's an either or choice. And I know what, I know why it came up basically within that particular session, not in all the details. Not that I could remember them even if they'd been told to me, but what it brings up is the energy of the idea of being right and all the things that are attached to that concept for us. And I know I've been accused of this. I've had a number of people in my life who really don't like to argue with me, because somewhere in the back, in some other life, I guess, maybe, I don't know, there's a program that's the lawyer program, and I can out-logic people often. And it serves me well when I'm trying to make the connections to explain things when I'm talking on this program. Lots of things just come together quite naturally that I didn't necessarily see before, but I can see those patterns. But when I've had these close relationships, some friends, some colleagues, and my ex-wives, they haven't liked it at all because I come in like a steamroller out of this place of needing to be right. And it comes from self-preservation. I'm trying in those interactions, in those fights, in those arguments, in those discussions, I am trying to maintain a sense of my own value. And some might say my superiority, which, of course, that's all an illusion. I'm not any better than anyone else. There's no one else who's better than me. We're all divine. But that's what, call it the ego, call it whatever you want to call it, but that's what that part of us that is down at the core trying to discover our value, and when we discover it, trying to hold on to it, that part is fighting that value of being right. Of being right. Not only of wanting to be right, but of needing to be right. And I like to think I've been able to shift that to a degree. I know I can still run those patterns. But that need to be right is dangerous. Now, that's an interesting word to use. That's a bizarre thing to hear coming out of my own mouth. Not dangerous in the sense that I'm going to hurt somebody, beat them up physically over things. But it's dangerous in the sense that it's attached to a survival mechanism, a survival of my own sense of value. And when it comes up, it's coming up in fear. It's coming up because I am afraid I'm going to lose ground, or as is still the case in a lot of cultures, I'm going to lose face. I'm going to lose face. I'm going to be humiliated in some way or shown up as being less than somebody else. And so to prevent that from happening, I go on the attack, or at least I have when I'm in that pattern. And I certainly know others who are like that. I've known quite a few of them. In fact, a couple of them that I skirmished with quite a number of years ago, I think helped me to fine tune the tool for myself, because it was war. It was battle. It was engagement. And it was on a field where I could do what felt good. Where I could do what felt right, where I could do something that made me feel like I was worthwhile. Now, for me, early on in this lifetime, and I think this may be the case for a lot of us who have tended to fight on this battlefield of rightness, we can be much more in the mental body than either the emotional or the physical. Because that the battlefield of ideas, in many cases, that's what it's about. Now, I certainly hope that as I'm doing these programs, that's not what's coming across, because I am not seeking to convince you that you're supposed to take what I say as your truth. What I'm here doing is offering my truth, exposing that, and please take anything of value and set the rest aside and recognize the value in being able to say, that's not my truth. That's not my truth. And so, that's my desire for this program. Is that as I expose my truth, I can help you expose yours, not because you take what I say as your truth, but because in interacting with what I say, you allow yourself to know your own truth more fully from the inside out. Which is another part of why I don't prepare in advance for these things. I don't come in here with an agenda of all the things I want to say. Anytime I've attempted to do that in my life, except for one webinar, I've never been able to follow an outline when I'm giving any kind of a talk or sharing in any way, because I truly am seeking to build this from that shared energy we are co-creating together. Now, back to this battle aspect, the rightness aspect. Let's look at that from this perspective for a moment, the perspective of right and wrong. In the polarities that we are still in, and as far as I'm concerned, that are still going to exist and need to be dealt with even after we ascend, because the polarities themselves, they just tell us, oh, that's something that's good for us right now. Oh, that negative polarity, that's something that I don't want any more of. it's there. The polarities are there to give us opportunity to more consciously choose what we're creating. But we have a world built in this energy of the polarities, not just the polarities, but the attachment to the polarities. And so it's not just that in discernment we choose what is right for us, what serves us. We've gotten this attachment to having to prove others wrong or try to get to our side of the street, our belief, our knowing that's what right for us is also right for them. Because if it's right for us, well, it must be right for them. Which is, of course, not true. But that's what these programs are. Look at so much of... Well, there's God calling. Look at so much of what the polarized world is right now. Look at from the large to the small. We have... In the U.S. right now, the battle between the Democrats and the Republicans. And each side is convinced that they're right. And not only are they right for themselves, they're right for everyone else. And there's a degree on each side where the best way to prove that they're right is to demonize the other side. It's not just about being right for ourselves. It's about making the others wrong. It's about proving that rightness. Well, that's about ego. That's about that need for value. That's about that need to try and discover our value through having the approval, or at least the attention, of others. And again, that very common thing that we do to make fun of others. Because by putting them on a lesser level, we can feel better about ourselves. And hopefully, those of us who are doing this mastery path are transcending these patterns a bit. But this is certainly what's going on out there. Look at the Cold War, which, yes, it's much, much less than it used to be. But the evil empire, as I think Reagan put it, which has been replaced now by the axis of evil, as Bush put it. So the Russians, the bad guys, got replaced by the axis of evil. And even though we have changed the regime in Iraq, Iran and North Korea are still there being their evil selves so that we can be in our rightness and feel better. And again, these patterns would not be things that the politicians and the people, I won't say in power, but the people in domination, the ones in charge, so to speak, they wouldn't be able to get away with using this if this were not a deep, deep pattern within humanity of us versus them. And us, we have to be right, and they have to be wrong. And it's universal. The United States, the West, was the Soviets' demon. We are the demon for the radical terrorists. And so part of this question, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? It's not a small question. Because this need to be right, this need to prove that we're right, not just to know what's true for us, but to put it out in the world so that other people are going to agree with us, and then we can become this team against the others. And we can reaffirm our value because we have those who oppose us, who disagree with us. And to me, it seems like the polarities are getting worse, not better. Now, when I say worse, what I mean is that the disagreements are becoming amplified. The intensity of this is becoming amplified. If you look at, again, American politics, there's seemingly very little middle anymore. And by middle, what I mean is those who will work together in the House or in the Senate to create a compromise that moves the process forward, even if they don't get exactly what they think is the absolute best way. But they come together to work together and find that compromise. That kind of relationship seems to be disappearing in culture. They talk about how big the split is between the red and blue states. Well, it's not so much the red and blue states as it's the so-called red and blue people. And certainly I have my personal beliefs about what's going to help the most individuals come to a place of greater happiness. But I'm not right. It's just my perspective. I know it's through my filters. I'm also not wrong. I'm not wrong. I'm not saying that simply because I realize there's filters there, that those filters mean that the position I perceive to be the best one in any given circumstance is wrong. But it's not truth. It's perspective. And that's the difference. Because when we're in this space, when we're in this pattern, when we're in this habit of trying to prove ourselves right, even if it's not against someone else directly, even if it's just me in my own mind going on and on and on about how horribly that person is treating me and what's wrong with them and how could they do that? How could they act that way? How could they say that? That's just my perspective. And I'm shadow boxing. I'm fighting with myself. Because whatever they're doing, whatever they're saying, however they're treating me, is in some way that mirror. It's in some way a reflection back to me of my relationship with myself, of how much I am not feeling in my power. I'm not feeling in my mastery. I don't trust myself, etc. And so when I'm in this pattern of trying to be right, quite frankly, I'm not listening to anybody else anyway. I'm not listening in the sense of, I may be hearing their words, but I'm not actually seeking to experience it. I'm not seeking to experience to try and understand where they're coming from. I'm seeking to try and find my value. And when I'm trying to do that, true communication ceases. Because I'm not trying to get to a place of understanding, of comprehension, of compassion, of recognizing that the thing that that person desires, and I'll go back to that place that I'm now ending the initial connections of everyone, every human has that inner knowing, that inner drive, that inner desire to make things better. That is what is universal. Our perspective, our experiences are all unique in how we try to go about that. And that, when we honor that, when we step into that compassion and honor that, that person, no matter how much I may judge or dislike their actions or their words or their thoughts or what they're expressing, that person is also desiring to feel good about herself or himself, to make their world, their personal world, a better place. Now, again, there are lots of people out there who can only feel better about themselves by making others feel worse or by feeling like they can control others. And that's a lot of people who are running things. Not all of them. I would not say it's all of them. I don't know all of them. But many of them, that's it. They get their sense of value out of how much they can control, whether it's other people, whether it's money, whether it's circumstances, whether it's stocks or bonds, whatever. Control makes them feel safe. But control is the need to be right. It's the need to be right. Because the need to be right fulfills another aspect of this, which is the need to be safe, the need to feel safe, which, since we do not fully experience our divinity, we're trying to control the outside world to get that sense of safety. We're trying to control what others think or say or do to feel safe within ourselves. But we can't feel safe beyond the degree that we trust ourselves, beyond the degree that we actually know our own value and our own power to create whatever it is we are needing to create, whatever it is we are choosing to create. But I would say, with all due respect to the Course in Miracles, but I would say that in some ways it's a loaded question. Now, I don't know the context of how it is in the Course in Miracles. But what I do know is that it's a loaded question because happiness is also conditional. And many of us, we feel happy for a time in the condition of feeling right. And so the question leads us in the direction of getting to the place where we can try to detach from our attachment to being right, which helps us to feel safe. But happiness is conditional on the external. It's an emotional response in the positive direction that says, hey, do some more of this. This is good. But that doesn't solve the problem. It's a start. It can be like a slap in the face where we can look at it a little more closely. But I would say there's a couple things that we can do to change this question. For one, to make it a little more clear, instead of using the term, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? And I don't know if that's the exact wording in the Course in Miracles or not. But in that wording of it, there's a problem, because in truth, it's not being right that we're seeking or being happy. It's feeling right or feeling happy, because that gets a little closer to what we're actually talking about here. I don't know about you. There have been times when I have felt very right. And often that's when I not only feel right, but when others might say I'm self-righteous. When I was actually wrong. When I had a wrong fact in my head that I was arguing the truth of. Or I hadn't considered certain things, and when they were brought to my attention, I changed my mind. And so it wasn't that I was right previously, and now I'm right in a new way. It's that I was wrong previously, even though I felt right. But again, pulling that out, we can't be right or wrong because we're perfect, we're divine, we're making choices, we're having experiences. It's not about right and wrong. Right and wrong is built on the judgment of right and wrong, is built on that idea that there's a God out there judging us and we're going to go to heaven or hell based upon whether we make the right choices or not, from a very incomplete, incoherent, and contradictory set of rules. We have to make choices, and then we're going to get punished or rewarded based on those choices. Well, it's no wonder we want to be right. That's a whole nother level of things. Not only is it about what's going on down here, it's about what might come after. Whew. I don't even want to think about it. But when we can reframe that, would you rather feel right or would you rather feel happy? That makes it a little bit clearer, at least to me. Because then I'm aware that that sense of rightness is a feeling. It's not truth. It's not the totality. There is no ultimate right or wrong. The right or wrong in a given choice, we're going to judge afterwards based on whether we have a positive or negative outcome. In the moment, it's the choice we're making. So in that moment, it is the right choice because that's the choice we're making. It's only in hindsight that we judge it with that attachment to, oh, I got rewarded, I made the right choice, or, oh, I got punished because I made the wrong choice. So I had this negative slap me upside the head. But again, this isn't the best way to ask this question. Because even this, you're comparing two conditionals, right and happy. They're about our perspective on what's going on around us. So I would offer you a different question. And I'll explain why after I offer it. And that question is this. Would you rather feel right or be joyous? And breathe into that. Or a different way to ask it. Would you rather feel right or be loving? Now, there's other ones that we can use here, but these will suffice to make the point. In those questions, to me, what is clear is the difference between feeling right, which is not the same as being right, because there's really no such thing, and states of being that are our divinity expressing. As they have described it in channeling for lots and lots of years now. And I love this distinction. There's a big difference between joy and happy. Joy, well, happy is conditional. It's a good feeling about our present circumstances. It's based on what's going on outside of us. Whereas joy is our experience of an expanded alignment between the physical, emotional, and mental levels of our being that allows more of our divinity to express. So in some ways, at the beginning of this program each week, what I'm seeking to do not only is to help you step into more mastery, but help you step into more joy. As we open up to allow more of that divinity to flow, as we come together in shared intention, as we get more and more conscious of that intention, we're opening up into experiencing more joy. But joy is a divine essence. It's an attribute of our divinity. It's not conditional on the outside. I know for those of you who've heard this, I've shared this at least once, if not more, during the course of these radio programs. But when I was asked, well, no, when I was told I was getting a divorce by an ex, and my emotional body went into chaos, anger, shame, fear, whatever. My mental body went into chaos. My physical body felt nauseous, and yet in the center of me there was this core of pure joy that all that chaos was, I don't know, like storm, storm clouds. But down in the storm cellar was this huge joy that could not be touched by the chaos in the physical, emotional, and mental bodies, because it was me experiencing the perfection of getting that divorce. Now, it did not it did not erase what was going on in the emotional and the mental and the physical bodies. But it existed in spite of what was going on inside of them. And that was such a huge key for me. And that's what I'm talking about here. Now, we may, even in the course of our choices, get into these patterns about needing, desiring, striving to be right, or striving to feel right. But when we can use the word feel right, that phrase, feel rather than be, it can be a reminder that this is a feeling, it's not truth. It's a perspective, it's not truth. And when we can compare that to being joyous, being because it's part of our essential being, a part of our divine nature, or being loving, again, love in that sense, I'm not talking about the emotion, I'm not talking about it at that level, I'm talking about pure divine acceptance. Would we choose the divine essence, or would we choose the momentary feeling? That's a question worth asking. And it's a question, I think, worth bringing up into any situation where we are in conflict with another person. Do I want to feel right here? Or do I want to feel joyful? When we can ask that, or do I want to feel loving? It changes the energy. It changes the energy. And we can connect with that joy, a little bit of that joy, or a little bit of that lovingness, and allow ourselves to experience that, even while the emotional and the mental are going crazy, even while we're yelling at someone. It can help diminish that energy. It can help calm it down. I know that having that initial experience, which was profound, changed the course of that divorce. And it changed the course of my life since, because I was able to experience both at the same time and realize that the joy was not based on the external condition. I didn't have to prove anything to get to that joy. I didn't have to make someone else wrong, and I didn't have to make myself right. I didn't have to get righteous to try and make myself right. And that's helped me, I believe, maybe not eliminate, but lessen those patterns of trying to be right in my life. And certainly that's the direction that I continue to desire to go. So, thank you for co-creating that with me. I think it's time to move on here to the channeling. Before we do that, I would bring up the commercial announcement for the week, which is that next Monday, and I'm actually going to pull out the paperwork here and confirm that that's the case, but next Monday on October 29th, so not tomorrow, but next week, on October 29th, is going to be the next gateway activation. We are going to be, well, I'm pretty sure that we're going to be activating two gateways. Might scare some people off here, but I believe the first gateway we're going to be activating is actually the gateway of death, and the second one then being the gateway of rebirth. So that's going to be Monday evening, October 29th, seemingly somehow fitting with Halloween 2 days later and All Souls and All Saints Day and the Day of the Dead in Mexico and all that kind of stuff in there. So Anyway, I will be getting that information out here tomorrow, I believe, on the website and out through the email. So if you're interested in that, by all means, contact me. Let me know. All right, so let's go on into the channeling and see what the other side might have to add, to offer, to say here. So as always, just allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning to bring the energies into alignment, into attunement, so we can receive that contact. Hello, dear ones. This is Yeshua or Jesus or Sananda, depending upon your frame of reference, come to be with you today. So, what we would like to do is to activate within you, if you are so inclined, an extra gateway or portal for your own divinity to come forth with greater ease. And how we would like to do this is to open up a greater connection between that which in the Orient they would call the Dantian, the solar plexus chakra, and the heart chakra. And in those traditions that speak of the Dantian, they speak of it as the seat of the soul. It is an access point. Well, you have multiple access points to your own divine essence. Different ones connect with different aspects of your divinity. But what we are going to do here, and the Dantian is closely connected with the second chakra. And so ultimately we're connecting these four points, the second, third, and fourth chakras and the Dantian together, so that they work together more in an integrated fashion in allowing these energies to come up. And of course, it's not just that they come up in these chakras, it's that they then spread throughout the energy field and throughout your energetic system and throughout your life. So, if you would choose to participate in this, all you have to do is let us know. Just say yes. Just say yes. And we will go about the activation. It has already begun for those of you who have said yes to this. And it is also going to connect, because it is connecting all of these chakras, it is also going to connect in the central channel in a different way, integrating energy flows differently. So we begin at the Dantian itself. And what we are doing is taking off some of the restrictions that have been placed upon it. Restrictions that were requirements for coming into the body. But those requirements are being lessened. So you can think of this like loosening your belt, since that is an approximate zone of where the Dantian is for many with the hip hugger genes these days. And so this is about loosening the belt, the constriction on the Dantian. So that image, if it works for you, is fine. If no image is necessary here to receive this, but you might feel your breath easing. You might feel tension departing out of the lower part of your abdomen. But we will do a little bit of sound work here to aid this process. Oh. And now let us go to the second chakra, and we will open the pathways that connected with the Dantian, and most especially about expanding the energy flow of your divinity into the pathways of your creativity and your manifestation. So, once more, that image, if it will, if you will, of releasing, loosening the belt is a good one, but it's not necessary. And once more, we will do some sound here to aid disactivation. Solar plexus, once more, the image of the belt loosening, creating more space, creating more expansion, creating greater ease of breathing, as that is very connected to the solar plexus and the diaphragm. So, once more, we will do some sounding to aid this process. Eotapadiana mania goromania naio mania granain granaio. Digum degea mania granaio mania granamo aniano. Omnia gandiana maeo nani gomnaiana. And on up to the heart center. And again, loosen the belt. Allow yourself to be open to receiving, to expanding, to knowing more of your divinity. Just allow yourself to allow these energies to flow throughout your physical body, throughout your emotional body, throughout your mental body, throughout your energy field, your aura, into all of your relationships, into all of your life. So be it. Namaste, beloved. All right. Well, thank you, Yeshua. And once more, thanks to each of and every one of you. And thanks to Doug. And you can start those charms at any time. All right, now. As always, I just want to remind each of you of the co-creative nature of this process. I cannot do it without you. I always appreciate any feedback comments, questions, complaints. I'm doing my best not to seek to be right. Anything you would like me to touch upon in the future, topics, questions, anything. And yeah, we'll keep going. We'll keep creating. I will be back here, same time, same place next week. And I hope that you'll join me. I wish you a marvelous week. I hope you're having a marvelous day as well. And I will see you out there in the energies. Namaste, my friends.